Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Mi'ila Daf Yud Zayin. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. We will begin at the Mishnah that you'll find second line from the top. Dam Hasheretz Ubesoro Mitztarfin Ze Im Ze. We've been discussing up till now, and we mentioned this during an earlier shiur, the Mishnayos have the theme of different elements joining together one with the other. Here we're talking about the blood and the meat, or the flesh, of a sheretz joining together to the shiur, to the quantity of an adosha, for the purpose of communicating tuma, ritual impurity. Klal Omar Rabbi Yeshua, Kol Shetum Osoi V'Shiuroi Shovin Mitztarfin. Rabbi Yeshua teaches a principle with a number of sub points, as you will see now in this section of the Mishnah. If you have an item, an element, or an example of something where the tumah, the tumah here is a reference to the length of time that a person would be in a state of tumah. So any type of tumah-generating thing whose length of time, the shiuro, quantity, that quantity necessary for generating the tumah, would be the same, shoven, the same, mitztarfin, they would join together. Rashi gives examples. A nevela. Two kinds of nevela, let's say. If you have nevela of a dead cow and nevela of a dead sheep. Or two kinds of shrutzim. Rashi cites names of shrutzim, choled and achbar. So the length of tuma that is generated by nevelos and the quantity are the same. So a half quantity of cow nevela with a half quantity of sheep nevela will join together. Another part of his rule, tumasoi velo shiro. If you have things whose tuma, length of tuma is the same, but not the quantity, they won't join together, as the Mishnah will tell us shortly. What is an example of this, of tumaso velo shiro? So Rashi gives an example of sheretz and nevela. The tumaso is the same. They're both what's called, they both have tumas erev. In other words, the tuma is a one-day tuma, till sundown. However, the shiur is different. By a sheretz, the quantity is an adosha. By nevela, the quantity is a kezias, an olive quantity. And another example, shiuro velo tumaso, where the length of the tuma is different, even though the shiur, the quantity, is the same. Shiuro, the quantity, is the same. However, tumaso is different. What is an example of that? If you have nevela and mace. Mace is a human corpse. So the shiur is the same. They're both measured in terms of olive quantity. However, length of tumah is different. Nevela is just till the evening, till it's called tumas erev, and mace is 7 days. And finally, lo tumaso velo shiuro. Maybe this is the most obvious. Where the length of time is different. For example, mace and sheretz. Mace is 7 days and sheretz is a one-day thing. And shiuro are different. The mace is an aleph quantity, and the sheretz is an adosha quantity. So ein mitstarfin. So only the first, you have the first category, which you notice we labeled as Roman numeral number 1. There you have mitstarfin. However, from Roman numeral number 2, with its three examples, so they are ein mitstarfin. We continue now with the Gemara. But before we learn the Gemara itself, let's just glance at the outside margin under our nosei, our topic heading. There are a couple of points that we want to feature here. Mosai amrinon didam hasheretz ubosor hasheretz mitstarfin l'shiur sheretz. When is it that we say that the sheretz flesh and the sheretz blood join together to add up to the sheretz quantity, which is an adosha? Dafko me'oiso sheretz, is it only if it's from that same sheretz? Oi mikama shrotzim, or from different shrotzim? Another point that will come under discussion, revius dam minames. Revius is a liquid quantity, and here we're talking about blood coming from a corpse. Ha'im hu mitame b'oil? Does it communicate tuma through overshadowing? Mimes sholem or mimiksas mes? Is it only if it comes from a complete corpse, or even from, let us say, a limb, and from a limb that was removed, severed from a corpse, and there was a revius of blood that came from that limb? That's called miksas mes. We turn to the Gemara, bearing in mind that we also have some girsa issues that we are going to learn together with, and that's courtesy of the Shita Mekubetzes. The Gemara opens up and says, Omar Rav Honin, Omar Rav, v'oido boi. If we look at the Rashi, Omar Rav Honin, Klomar, ha dekotoni dam hasheretz v'abosur mitstarfin. Dafko besoroi shel oisoi sheretz atzmoi shepiresh mimenu hadam. Dahave dam ubosor mesheretz echad. Rav Honin understands the Mishnah that says dam hasheretz v'abosur besoro mitstarfin is, we're talking about the blood that came from a particular sheretz. In other words, the flesh that's associated with the blood that came from it, literally from it. Then they're mitstaref. Veloi, Rashi goes on, veloi shadam misheretz echad v'bosor misheretz achir. But not in a case where the blood comes from one sheretz and the flesh from another sheretz. That bearing that in mind, and that's what the expression v'oda bo means, moisiv Rav Yosi Rav Chanina. We're continuing in the Gemara. Rav Yosi raises a kasha. He raises a difficulty. The pasuk says ha tmein, and that tells us melamed shehein mitstarfin v'afilu sheretz usheretz sheretz Vidam, bein mishem echad, bein mishnei shemois. According to this source that features this pasuk of Hatamein, we see that there is tziruf, whether it be from one sheretz or even two different shrotzim. There is a joining together of the blood, the meat. Not restricted like we understood from Rav Hanan's understanding of the Mishnah, that it tziruf of blood and meat would be only from the very same sheretz itself. But hatameim, Rashi says the hay in this word, tells me that there's tziruf even a half quantity from one sheretz with a half quantity from another sheretz. presenting a kasha on that which Rav Chanan taught. Omar Rav Yosef, loy kasha, kan bekuloy, kan bemiktsasoi. In order to appreciate this, we look at the Rashi. Omar Rav Yosef, kan bekulo, kan bemiktsaso, ihavu, shrotzim kulon shlemim. If you're dealing with complete shrotzim, dead complete shrotzim, bein mishem echad, bein mishnei shemos, upireish chatzi shiur mizeh v'chatzi shiur mizeh, oy mizeh dam u'mizeh basar, kevon di osu mimokom choshuv v'travayu shrotzim shlemim ninu v'chashivi mitzdarfin. Since you're dealing with complete shrotzim, so even if it's the blood of one and the flesh of another, they will join together. And that's what the source, beginning with Hatmeim, was talking about. Rav Chanan, on the other hand, who explained the Mishnah as referring to Tziruf, but only if it's the same Sheretz, Rashi goes on, V'ha'ad yomar Rav Chanan v'chulei, Hainu b'miktsasim d'lohavu ha'shrotzim shleimim. The shrotzim were not complete. Elo miktsaso shall call echad ve'echad munach bekan. You had partial or limbs of shrotzim, of different shrotzim. Upirish dam mizeh ubasar mizeh, and blood came from one partial sheretz, and the meat, the flesh, from another. Hayo v'lo also mishrotzim shleim, and since they're not coming from complete shrotzim, lo chashivi, they are not significant. V'lo mitzdarfi hadamim abasar. Elohim Bosar Oisoi Sheretz Shapiresh Mimenu Hadam. Under, if you want to talk about partial shrotzim and blood and flesh joining together, it would only be the blood that came from that partial sheretz that you're joining together with the meat. So meat and blood of a partial sheretz, if it's the very same partial sheretz, they will join together. But meat from one partial sheretz and the blood from another partial sheretz will not join together. The Gemara asks, "Umino Temra, from where do we know that there is a distinction made between shleimim and chaserim, that we place a premium or an emphasis on the fact that the origin of something comes from something that's shleim versus the origin of something that is partial?" The Gemara answers, "Midasanya," from the following Tanaic source. Now, this answer takes a number of lines to develop, and we've denoted that with our long answer marking, the tuf that you see encircled in the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text and descending vertical dashed line. The following source, Nishbach al Horitzpa, a Revias Dam. Revias is a liquid quantity of blood, in this case blood from a corpse. V'hoyo mekoimo katafris, the place is an incline. Iel al miktsasoi tor, if a person overshadowed part of the blood of the revius, so he remains tohor. Iel al kulo, if he overshadowed the entire quantity of blood, the revius of blood that came from the corpse, tomei, he becomes tomei. Mai miktsaso. In this source, the term miktsaso appeared. Iel miktsaso. What does miktsaso mean? I lemo miktsas dam. If it is to mean part of the blood, the Omer Rabbi Chanina, Omer Rabbi, Revias Dam Shehegis Bo, Tahira. Hegis is to stir. Let's go back for a moment, because we want to read the Gemara a little more accurately in light of a comment made by the Shita Mekubetzes. Our Gemara is looking for a basis that there is a difference between the origin of something that is complete versus something that originates from that which is partial. So the Gemara cites a source dealing with a revius of dam that's spilled on the floor. And we're going to go back and read from the expression Umenot Temra, just a couple lines up. Umenot Temra, Midasanya. So here's the beginning of a long answer. Nishbach al haritzba, Vahoya Mekoima Katafris. Notice we have a short bracketed section. We're just putting in brackets a couple of words. These are really not the central, these are, we'll say, tangential for the point we're trying to make. So if we de-emphasize the expression Yal al-Mitzel Sator for the moment, the source says, Yal al-Kulo Tomei, that if a person overshadows all of the blood, a revius dam that comes from a corpse communicates tumas meis, tumas oihel, to the ritual impurity through the fact that you overshadowed it. The whole Omar Rabbi Chanina, Omar Rabbi, but doesn't Rabbi Chanina teach in the name of Rabbi, revius dam shehegis bo tahora, that if a person were to have stirred, hegis is to stir, a revius of blood from a mace, he remains tahor. And it's pointed out that you can't possibly stir it and not also overshadow it at the same time. So, in effect, you would have the overshadowing of all of the revius, and still he's tahor. How do you resolve this with that which it says in the source, that he's tomei? Elo lav. Now, we should point out that we've dot underlined two key words, the word tomei at the end of the Tanaic source, and the word tahora over here. So how do you resolve these, this difference? Elo lav, shma mino, kan bekuloi, kan bemikzosoi. The revius dam from a mace will communicate tumas mace through ohel, through the fact that you overshadowed it, only if the revius dam is coming from a complete corpse. However, if, let us say, there was a corpse that was severed, and a revius dam comes from that part of the mace, that would not communicate tumas mace through ohel. And hence we have what we were looking for, a difference, a source for a difference between something that originates from that which was complete, as opposed to something that originates from that which was partial. You'll notice that we have a slash marking here, indicating that that which follows is a new trend of thought. And there is a connection to that which follows and that which we learned, but it's a as far as approaching the Gemara is concerned, this is a new trend of thought. It's in fact a very long incident, a story. The connection is that there is a discussion concerning blood and its ability to communicate tumah, blood and shrotzim, that their ability to communicate tumah comes under discussion. However, structurally, you'll notice that we've noted this as a long maisa. Starting here, we've written in the word maisa to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, a descending vertical dashed line, and this will take you down more than halfway down Amud Beis. Before we learn the Gemara, we glance at the outside margin under our No Say heading. You notice that we've also included in parentheses Ad Amud Beis, that this incident goes till Amud Beis of the Gemara. Maisa de Ben Tamalion, a story involving a spirit that enters, you'll see that it enters the body of an individual that will be revealed later in the Gemara. And that spirit needs to be removed or exorcised. Sipur ze muva agav she'ela. This story is brought through the question of minayin ledam shrotzim shutame. From where do we know that the blood that comes from shrotzim communicates tuma? The Rav Shimon bar Yochai ona tshuva l'Rav Masya shekibel mi'Rav Elozer Rav Yossi. Rav Shimon bar Yochai will be answering this question. He'll be answering Rav Masya, an answer that he got from Rav Elozer Rav Yossi. In the course of the Gemara, we will notice another couple of markings. And under our Mivneh heading, you'll notice that we have a crown shape, Minayin. And the crown goes around the question here, Minayin Ladam Shrotzim Shutameh. On Omid Beis, there's another crown, Minayin Ladam Hasheretz Shutameh. You'll notice that that appears again. And we've used the crown marking to highlight that. The dashed underline will be used to emphasize the name Reb Elozer Reb Yossi. Simunim Elu, we've noted, Noadim Litzor Kesher Im HaGemora B'Omid Beis. We want to create a connection between the Gemara here and that which appears on Omid Beis. So let's now begin the incident. Shoa Rav Masya ben Chorosh es Rabbi Shimon ben Yochoi. Be'ir Romi. Minayin ledam shrotzim shehu tomei. From where do we know that the blood of shrotzim, if you have a dead sheretz, and you are now dealing with the blood from a dead sheretz, that it communicates ritual impurity. Omale, diyamakro, the pasuk says, v'zeh lochem hatomei. This was Rav Shimon Bar Yochai's answer that he gave to Rav Masya's question. Amru lo Talmidov, the students of Rav Masya said, Chochim lei ben Yochai. Rashi explains this. Kvar nischachim ben Yochai shiyadeh lo madover zeh. Has he become so smart, so knowledgeable that he is able to give this answer? Omar Lahem, Rav Masya said, Talmud Oruch Befiv Shel Rav Elozer Bar Rabbi Yossi. This is actually a tradition that he received, and he didn't say it on his own, but it's a tradition he received from Rav Elozer Bar Rabbi Yossi. Now the Gemara gets into the background. At what point did Rav Shimon Bar Yochai get this tradition? So here's the background. Shepam Achas Gozra HaMalchus Gzera. Once the Romans imposed a ruling against the Jewish people. And it had 3 points. One, Shelo Yishmu as a Shabbos, that they shall not observe and keep the Shabbos. V'Shelo Yomulu as Benam, a ruling against circumcision. V'She Yiv'alu Nidos, and that in intimacy, they shall conduct intimacy with women during their Nidah, their menstrual period. Holach Rabbi Ruvain ben Istrabuli, this gentleman, Rabbi Ruvain, went, the siper kumi, siper loshon tispores, it's an expression having to do with a haircut. He took a certain type of haircut that was characteristic, we'll call it a Gentile type haircut, as Rashi says, kederach shevdi kechav v'moisim. So he wanted to appear incognito, namely as a, not as a Jew. So he went, v'siper kumi, he took this type of idolatrous looking or Gentile type haircut, v'holach v'yoshav imahim, and then he went and sat amongst the Roman officials. And now you'll notice with our markings, we have triangles here, and they're explained under the tat nosem, mivneh heading in the outside margin, tat nosem being the subtopic, and mivneh the structural note, the triangle you see there, tshuvel shereb ruven benes rebuli, the remoyim. These are Reb Ruvain's responses to the Romans' gzeros, kedei levatel gimel gzeros seyem. His responses in order to void their three rulings. The rulings they made neged Shabbos, Milo, and Nida. We'll also be using a double underline to highlight the expression bitlua, where they actually accept what he says. Bearing in mind that this man, Reb Ruvain, is appearing to them as one of them. So he went and sat with them. The Gemara continues with the first triangle, Aleph. Omar Lahem, he said to the Romans, Mishi Yeshlo Oyev, Ye'ani Oyashir, someone who has an enemy, should he be impoverished or be wealthy? Omar Lo Ye'ani, should be impoverished. Omar Lahem, if he said to them, Im Kain, if that be the case, Lo Yasu Melocha B'Shabbos, Kedesh Shianu. They should not do work on Shabbos. They shouldn't do melachas on Shabbos, constructive activities, thereby reducing by 1/7 their income. They won't be involved with melachas, and they won't be working on Shabbos, and thereby they'll become impoverished. Amru, so the Romans said, Tovis Omar, Ubitlua, said that he says well. In other words, that's a good argument. And they were Mevatel, their ruling that they shall work on Shabbos. Chazar v'yomar lahem, Mishi Eshlo Oyev, Yafisho Yavri, he then said to them, someone who has an enemy, should he be weakened or healthy and strong? Amru lo, so the Romans answered, Yachish, he should be weakened. Amar lohem im kain, yomu b'neim, lishmoni yomim v'yachishu. Well, if that's the case, so they should impose circumcision on their 8-day-old children and cause them weakness. Amru, tovis amar, obed lua. They said, you know, what you're saying makes sense, and therefore they voided that ruling that had originally prohibited circumcision. Chazav Yomar Lahem, Mishiesh Lo Oyev, Yarbe O Yismite. He then said to them, a person that has an enemy, should his enemy be numerous or few in numbers? Omru Lo Yismite, he should be few in numbers. Omar Lahu, so Rabbi Reuven said to them, Im Kain Lo Yevalu Nidas. So then restrict the amount of intimacy they can have and ban them from having intimacy during the Nidah period. Amru, so they said, Tovis Omar Bidlo. Said, well, that's a sound argument, and they were Mevatel, their Gezerah, of insisting on the Jews conducting intimacy with Nidos. Hikiru bo Shu Yehudi. They discovered that he was a Jew. Hichzirum. They reinstated their gezeros. Notice this fascinating revelation here, how far Jew hatred goes. It goes so far as they would be willing to inflict on themselves a loss just so that they could get at them as Jews. In other words, they saw that he really was a Jew and was trying to advocate on behalf of the Jews, and that concerned them more than the points of logic that he had raised and that they in fact had agreed with. This shows you the blindness of Jew hatred. Well, realizing now that they have a problem, Amru, the Jewish community, said, "Mi yelech v'yavatel gzeiros? Who will go and rescind these rulings?" Continuing on Amud Beis, Yelech Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai shumalumad benisim. Let Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai go forward and take care of this matter. After all, he is a person that is a regular with regard to miracles. Rashi makes reference to the Gemara in Shabbos where he had been on the run from the Romans and was able to exist 12-13 years in a cave miraculously. So the suggestion was put forward that Reb Shimon bar Yochai, he is the one that should go and take care of this matter. The Achrov Melech, who shall go with him? They answered, Reb Elazar Reb Yossi. Omer Lahen Reb Yossi, the father said, father of Reb Elazar said, "V'ilu hoya abba chalaf dekayim." If my father, the father of Reb Yossi, his name was Chalafta or Abba Chalafta. So Reb Yossi, upon hearing that his son is being volunteered for this mission, Reb Yossi says, "If my father was alive, yechaylem atem loymar loy tein bincho lariga. Do you think you'd be able to convince him to give his son over to being killed?" Now, this argument of Tein Bincho Lariga, there is what Rabbi Yossi intended and the way Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai thought he had meant to say. So, Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, hearing this, thought that the father, namely Rabbi Yossi, the father of Rabbi Elazar, was concerned with his son going on a dangerous mission, being endangered by the Goyim, by the Romans. However, in truth, Rabbi Yossi was bothered, was afraid of his son not going to the Romans per se, but of his son going along with Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. Rashi points out he was more worried about Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai getting angry at his son for whatever reason, and this will become clearer as we go on in the Gemara, but it's pointed out by the Mefarshim that Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai was an individual that had a tendency toward wrath. And with that in mind, Rabbi Lozer, the father of Rabbi Lozer, Rabbi Yossi himself, was afraid that he would go along with Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai and incur his wrath, and that would be that would endanger the wrath of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, was something that would endanger his son. So that in mind, let's continue with the Gemara. Omar Lahem, on the fourth line from the top, Omar Lahem Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon said to them, Ilu hoyo yochoi abo kayom. If my father was alive, yochoi lomatem lomar lo tein bin chol ariga, do you think you'd be able to convince my father to have me, his son, sent on a dangerous mission? Now, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai had understood, as we said before, that the danger in this mission was going to the Romans. Omar Luhu Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi speaks up, the father of Rozer speaks up, and says, listen, Ano Azlin, I'm going to go instead of my son. Dilma Onish Lei Rabbi Shimon. Who the Komistafino? What I'm afraid of is not the Romans, it's not the nature of the mission. I'm afraid of you and your wrath, that you might get angry at my son. Well, Kibel Ole Dolo Le'anshe. Rabbi Shimon accepted upon himself that he will control his wrath and not get angry at Rabbi Lozer. Afilu Hochi Anshe. But still, he couldn't. He didn't restrain himself, and he did cause an onesh to arise. This will become clear as we go on. This now the Gemara gives a background to what was just said. This point of afilu hochi anshe. Now the Gemara explains. Kishohoyu mahalchem baderech, as they were on this mission to rescind the edicts against the Jews. Nishallah Shelazu Bethlehem. The question was raised. Someone came along and asked Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai and Rabbi Lozer, Rabbi Yossi, asked of them a question. Minayin ladam sheret shehu tamei. This is exactly the issue that was mentioned in the Gemara before we were at the very beginning of this story. So the question was raised, from where do we know that the blood of a sheretz is tomei? Ikein piv, Rabbi Lozer Rabbi Yossi v'omar. Literally, he twisted his mouth, but it means he answered in a very quiet way so that Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai should not hear that he is answering. So he answered very quietly, v'omar v'zeh lochem hatomei. He quoted this pasuk, and from this pasuk, we learn that the blood of shrotzim communicates ritual impurity, communicates tumah. However, even though he tried to do it quietly, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai noticed, and he said, Omar Lei Rabbi Shimon, Me Akimas Fosecha. Rabbi Shimon says to Rabbi Lozer Rabbi Yossi, from your lip contortion, from the fact that you said something and you answered the question, Ata Nikur Shetamut Chochem Ata. Well, it seems that you're a Talmudic sage. What's really to be understood here is that you are answering, you're called Meira Halacha Bifnei Rabcha. In other words, you are answering a question in my presence, and I am I am like your teacher, I'm a superior Talmud Chacham, and it's not in order, it's actually considered a major offense for someone who is in the presence of a lesser sage to render answers and decisions. Al yachzor haben etzel aviv. And here, we'll say a type of curse, if you will. He says that the son, namely Rabbi Lozer, should not get back, shouldn't be able to finish this journey and get back home.
later in the story, though, we should say that Rashi points out that you see from other sources in the Agodah, Rashi quotes, that he davened, rather, that this curse came true to the extent that Rebbe Lozer took sick, but Rebbe Shimon Bar Yochai, realizing that he had originally accepted on himself not to become enraged, he then davened and he got better. That's by way of background as far as this particular incident is concerned, and the curse and the rescission of that particular curse. The story, though, goes on. Let's not forget that they are on a mission to have three edicts rescinded. Yotza Likrosoi Ben Tamalion. Ben Tamalion is the name of a shade or a demon. He comes toward them and says, Ritzonchem Ovo Imochem, would you like me to come with you and help you solve the problem with the Romans? Bocha Reb Shimon V'Omar. Reb Shimon, seeing that coming to his aid was a shade, was a demon, he said, look at me and look at Hogar, who was a bondmaid, a maidservant of Avraham Avinu. Ma Shivcha Shel Beis Abba, a reference to Hogar, Nizdamein Lo Maloch Sholosh Pe'omim. She, a mere bondmaid, but had the merit of an angel, a Maloch, a much higher level spiritual entity than a demon, she merited an angel appearing three times. V'ani lo pa'am achas, and I, not even once. All that comes to me is a demon. Nevertheless, yavo hanes mikol mokom, let the miracle and our salvation come anyway. So what happens? The story goes on. Kodim hu, Ben Tamalion, goes ahead. Earl the Barte the Kesar. He then takes possession. He enters the daughter of the king, of the Caesar, the Roman Caesar, the Roman Caesar. So you have a situation where the Roman emperor notices that his daughter is possessed by this demonic figure. She's in simple terms, sick. Kimota Hosam. When Reb Shimon Bar Yochai got there, when he arrived, he said quietly, Ben Tamalion Tse, he said, go out, and giving the impression that he, Reb Shimon Bar Yochai, was the source of her regained health and normalcy. This caused a sense of immense gratitude on the part of the Caesar, seeing that what appeared to him as Reb Shimon Bar Yochai being the savior. The Gemara says, "V'kevon dekoru lei," when Reb Shimon Bar Yochai called to Ben Tamayon to leave, "Nafik v'yozel," he went. He went out. He left her. Omar Lahon, the Caesar, seeing that he had that Reb Shimon Choy had saved his daughter, he says, "Sheilu kol ma di islachon mishal, ask of me any request that you may have." So they ask, "Well, can we have these edicts rescinded?" Ve'ailinu leginze lishkol kol debo. He ushered them into his treasury to take whatever they wanted. Ashkehu hahu igro, they found the document with the edicts on it. Shaklu v'karua, they took it and tore it up. So that they accomplished what they set out to do, tore up the edicts, and in the meantime, they happened to be in the inner sanctum, or the treasury of the Romans. V'hainu d'omer Rabbi Elozer Rabbi Yossi, it's based on this story and this incident that Rabbi Elozer Rabbi Yossi says elsewhere regarding the blood applications that took place on Yom Kippur in the Beis Hamikdash, he says, Ani ro'asio, I saw the paroches, I saw the curtain separating the Kodesh from the Kodesh Kodashim that used to be in the Beis Hamikdash. And as everyone knows, the Romans destroyed the Beis Hamikdash and took the ruins as booty. So they took the paroches. He, Reb Elazar Reb Yossi, says, I saw the paroches, Bo'ir Romi, v'hav olel kama tipe domim, and there were drops of blood on it. Now this knowledge was of significance for understanding how the blood sprinkling was done on Yom Kippur in the Beis Hamikdash. So he was offering his first-hand testimony as to how it should be done, based on, of course, his experience there being in the treasury of the Roman Empire. The Mishnah. Hapigul v'noisar ein mitstarfin. Bitneshen shnei shemos. If you have a partial quantity of pigul meat and a partial quantity of noser meat, pigul being a sacrifice that was processed with a wrong mindset, noser being leftover sacrificial meat, and you have a half a kezias of pigul and a half a kezias of noser, they won't join together because they are two shemos. They're two separate, two different offenses. Hasheretz v'hanavela, v'chein hanavela u'besar hames, ein mitstarfim ze im ze litamei, afilu kekal shebishnehem. These will not join together, even when you have the more severe form of tumah joining up with the lesser one to supposedly to communicate the lesser form of tumah, even so they will not join up. The Rashi gives an example. Afilu kikal shebishneim, Rashi says, klomar de pochos michadosha de sheretz eino mitstarif lahashlim lekezayas nevelo dehu kal. A sheretz as a more severe level of tumah in terms of its quantity-wise, so we can tell it's more intense or more concentrated. If you have a pochos mikadosha of sheretz, it will not join up with the pochos mikazayas of nevela. The kosher came to nevela in a mitzarevus the pochos mikadosha de sheretz. The hainu shiur chomor, the sheretz is more chomor. The lesser amount of nevela, the partial quantity of nevela certainly will not join up with the partial quantity of sheretz to create an adosha quantity. The chen chatzi zayas shel meis eino mitzaref lechatzi zayas shel nevela afilu letame tumas erev. Even if you have a half olive quantity of mace is something that has a 7-day tumah period. And you have a half olive quantity of that, it will not join up with a half olive quantity of nevela to create even tumas erev. As we said, because they are two different realms. The Gemara. Before learning the Gemara, we glance at the outside margin, the nose, the topic heading that we've assigned for this is pigul v'noser einon mitstarfin le'inyan tumas yodayim. Pigul and nosar, that was mentioned in the Mishnah as not joining together, that is only with regard to a rabbinic type tumah called tumas yodayim. Avo mitstarfin l'chayev mishum achilo. However, they will join to mechayev the person to hold guilty an individual who eats a chatzi zayas of pigul together with a chatzi zayas of nosar. The Gemara, Omar of Yehuda, Omar Shmuel, lo yishonu ela letumas yodayim. That which the Mishnah said that pigul and nosar do not join up, they don't join up to communicate, to create tumas yodayim. If a person, let us say, touched a full olive quantity of pigul or a full olive quantity of nosar, his hands would become rabbinically impure. It's called tumas yodayim. Rashi makes reference to the Gemara in Psachim that explains why there is tumas yodayim. There are two opinions there. One is called chashde kuna, the other is atzle kuna. But we don't have to get into that background for our shiur. Suffice it to say, there's something called a rabbinic level of tumah that affects the hands. Only a full quantity will Matama the Yadayim, but a partial quantity, two partial quantities will not join up to create this Tumah. Because if they would, Rashi points out, that would be a type of Gzeira L'Gzeira, because the basic Tumas Yadayim itself is only rabbinic. And to have another level of ruling toward that ends would be going too far. And hence the rabbinic ruling of Tumas Yadayim is only if you have a full quantity, a full olive quantity, and it won't include a case of combining two partial olive quantities. So that's as far as Tumas Yadayim. We say that the Chatzoi Zesim of Pigul and Ozer will not join up. The Gemara goes on, Avol Le'inyan Achila, the last narrow line of the Gemara says, Avol Le'inyan Achila Mitstarfin. But as far as to create guilt for eating, there will be guilt for eating a chatzi zayas of pigul along with a chatzi zayas of nosar. Desanya Rebbe Elazar Omer lo yochal ki kodesh hu. That is a pasuk. Kol shebekodesh pasul. Anything that's pasul in the realm of sacrifices. Bo akosuf litein lo yisase al achiloso. The Torah is imposing a negative command, a violation of a negative command of one who eats from it. And Rashi says very simply, "Ki kodesh heim," on this pasuk, mashma d'shnei mitzdarfim lachila, that it's mashma from them that the two offenses will join up together. Umilo yoichal nafka v'chol shebekodesh posel kigon noisar upigol. Anything that's considered posel in the realm of kodesh, in the realm of sacrifices, is capable of joining together to create a negative command of one who would eat that. The Mishnah ha'oichel shenitma be'av hatuma v'shenitma be'vlad hatuma. Food that became tome through contact with an avatuma, that's a high level of tuma, the first level of tuma, called an avatuma, so the food that touched an avatuma, vishinitma bivalatuma, that's food that touched a one step lower, which is called a rishon tuma, mitstarfim zeim ze l'tame kikal shebishneim, so that if you have a partial quantity of food that had touched an avatuma, joining with a partial quantity of food that touched a vladatuma, they will join up together to be the same as the lesser of the two levels. That's kekal shebishneim. Kol ha'ochlin mitstarfim zeim ze lifsol hagvia kebechatzi pras. All foods, if you're dealing with food that's tamei, will join together to lifsol hagvia. It means to impose tuma on the person that ate it. Lifsol hagvia, gvia is the body. It means it's a reference to the person that ate it. What is the quantity of food necessary to eat in order to create this psul haguf, this tuma of a person? Kibachatzi pras. This concept of lifsol segvia has practical ramifications with regard to eating truma. If a person becomes tomei as a result of having eaten oichlin tomei, we should point out, by the way, that this is a rabbinic type tuma. Food on a Torah level does not mitama a person, but on a rabbinic level it does, so that if a person eats this quantity known as a chatzi pras, Chatzipras, there's a machlokis tanoim as to how much that is, but it could be an egg and a half in quantity or two eggs in quantity, depending on different opinions of tanoim. But that quantity of food that's tomei will render the person tomei tumas haguf. What other examples of oichlin being mitzarif? Ukimozon shtei sudos le'eruv. If a person wants to create an eruv. It's an eruv tchumin. He places a certain quantity of food called the amount of food of two meals worth of food. So what our Mishnah is saying, this quantity of mazon shtei sudos can be made up of different food items. And that would create, if you place it outside the area of the city from which you want to walk, to extend your tchum, then it can be made of food, this eruv of different kinds of food items. Ukebeitza, an egg quantity, letame tumas ochlin. In order for food to communicate tuma to other food, you have to have a minimum of a kebeitza amount of food. So this kebeitza could be made up of different food items. This egg quantity worth of food items that's tume will create tumas ochlin. Ukegergeres loitzua Shabbos. On Shabbos, there is a prohibition of transferring items from one domain to another. The quantity with regard to food is a date quantity. Grogeris, that is a fig. Grogeris is a fig quantity. So the fig quantity of food could be made up of different food items that would result if one were to carry that combination food item. If it has this quantity, a fig quantity, he would be guilty of hoitzah on Shabbos. Uki koyseves biyom kippurim. On Yom Kippur, there is a prohibition of eating food. How much food? A koseves, a date quantity. The date quantity of food that he eats could be made up of some morsels of different kinds of food items combined together, equaling a date quantity. Now, when it comes to liquids, up till now, you notice we've used the double underlining to emphasize the words ochlin and kol hamashkin. Kol hamashkin, mitstarf and zuimzu, different kinds of liquids will join together, lifsol es hagvia, birvias. Just like we said by food, if it's tome, assuming you eat a certain amount, can make the person who's eating it rabbinically tome. The same thing with beverages that are tome. A revius quantity of liquid would make a person tome if he drinks that amount. Now that revius might be made up of different beverages. Uchemoloi lugma biyom kippurim. On Yom Kippur, the prohibition of drinking is a shear called moloi lugma, literally a cheekful. So the cheekful quantity of beverage that would be a violation on Yom Kippur, that beverage could be made up of different kinds of liquids. So the concept of tziruf applies under many different circumstances with regard to food and beverage. Tanya, we have a Tanaic source, and on the side of our Gemara, we've written, though, say the topic here is Tziruf Ochel Rishon Visheni Letame Shlishi. If you have food that is a Rishon level of Tuma, and food that is a Sheni level of Tuma, and you have a partial quantity, remember we said before that you need to have an egg quantity of food in order to communicate Tumas Ochlin. So let's say you had a half egg quantity of first level tuma and a half egg quantity of second level of tuma, and they are joined together and they touch other food that's tahor. What will happen to that other food? That other food will become a shlishi level of tuma, if you're dealing of course with something that's subject to that, like truma is. The source in the Gemara reads, Tanya, Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Matam. Why is it that a Vlad Rishon is mitzdarif with a Vlad Sheni? So now he answers something that is that the Gemara will point out is incorrect, and it will correct itself later. It says, She'efshir l'sheni she'aseh Rishon. It is possible for a second level to become a first level. The Gemara asks, that, how can that be? Umi ka'ovid sheni Rishon. Ha, lo efshir, a sheni, something that's a second level tuma, cannot become a rishon l'tuma. Omar Rava, hochi koma Rava says, thusly we are to understand the source. Mi goram l'sheni, what caused a sheni to become a sheni? Lav rishon, is it not the Rishon? In other words, if you have food that had been a Rishon level of Tuma, and it touched food that's Tahor, the food that's Tahor will now become a Sheni level. So being that there is this connection that the Rishon caused the other food to become a Sheni, if you now have a partial quantity of
each partial quantity of Rishon and a partial quantity of Sheni, they will join together, and if they touch other food, they will make the other food a Shlishi level. Of course, assuming that you're dealing with Truma. Rav Ashi explains, he deals with this same topic of why is it that the Rishon and Sheni join up. He says, Rav Ashi Omar, Rishon v'Sheni l'gabi Shlishi, the first and second with regard to a third, which is a very low level, b'nei chado b'ksa inun. They are all part of the same valley, the same area. It's an expression, but Rashi points out at the very end of the page, Rashi says, and you'll notice we have a little star there in the Rashi, Bain Ravel Ravashi Leko Binayu. There is no technical difference, no legal difference between Rava's response and Ravashi's response. Lashinui Lashon, just the way they're describing it, you see this difference in description. The Ravashi Moisif Omer B'nei Chado Bixininu. They're all part of the same area. In other words, we can say, if we loosely paraphrase this, that a first level and a second level are all considered a threat. They're both a threat to making a third level. So in that sense, the first and second level can join up to create a beitza, an egg quantity, which would communicate tumah to the next food item. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.